The hardest part of being a witness is being a witness amongst those who you live with on a daily basis. Because they see everything. They miss nothing. And it is difficult to be a witness 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. But that is what we are called to do. As our text that we have been using, Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jerusalem is our home. Judea, our church. And we've spoken about that this morning. Samaria, our community, and unto the uttermost parts of the world would be our workplace and the world. So what I would like to share with you today, briefly, is the impact specifically in our home. The question before us today is very simple. What kind of a witness are we called to be in our homes? Where do we start? Parents, for those of us who are parents, your own home is the first field in which you are called to labor. The precious plants in the home garden demand your first care. To you, it is appointed to watch for souls that you must give account. Carefully consider your work, its nature, its bearing, and its results. Why is this so important? Now, I made reference yesterday to a time in my early years of my marriage and parenting where I was so busy doing good works in my church and in my community, I had no time for communion with God. I had no time for my wife or for my children as we began to have them. Well, conviction led me to some life-changing decisions that my wife and I made that I want to take a little bit of time and share with you. We first of all changed the priorities of our lives so that the busyness of life did not crowd out time that we spent with the Lord. It was one of the reasons why in the early morning I read a passage from Sons and Daughters of God under the title, True Missionary Effort Begins in the Home. And this is what I read. In forming a relationship with Christ, the renewed man is but coming back to his appointed relationship with God. His first duty is to his children and his nearest relatives. Nothing can excuse him from neglecting the inner circle for the larger circle outside. I tell you, this hit me like a blow between the eyes. In the day of final reckoning, fathers and mothers will be asked what they did and said to secure the salvation of the souls they took upon themselves the responsibility of bringing into the world. So we began to seriously think about how I could answer the question, when I believe one day I will be called to account for the choices that I have made. When the question would be asked of me, where is that flock, that beautiful flock I gave you? So, reordering our priorities to give myself to my wife and to nurture our marriage and to be a godly father to our children in the spirit of Malachi 4:4-6, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, to prepare for the coming of the Lord, this is what we had to do. Now, we know that Satan has so arranged life today that parents don't often have the time to give themselves to their children to win their affections and to nurture them spiritually according to the instruction that is given to us in Deuteronomy 6. So, we began to set aside an hour every evening for what we call enjoyable family time. That's what we called it. And the intent of us doing this was to bind our hearts to our children. We cultivated a love for things that they enjoyed doing. My wife was the leader in this effort because she spent a lot of time with them and she understood what they enjoy doing. And so we spent a lot of time outdoors, hiking in the forest around our home, looking for wildlife. We played hide and seek. Once in the winter, now you have to understand, I grew up in the Caribbean. my idea of paradise is no shoes on, barefoot, in the ocean, all day. Coming in eventually for food and then going back out again. Clothing was optional. Minimum, the better. So, living in Michigan, where we were at the time, and there was white precipitation from time to time, and children who enjoyed being out of doors got it into their minds to build an igloo. So we built an igloo and then slept in it. Yeah. On another long winter evening, we went for a bike ride in the moonlight. Often we spent the majority of the time reading. I read to the whole family character building stories, mission stories, biographies that made them all develop a love for our family reading time. We were following Inspired Counsel and Adventist Home to make the evening a pleasant social setting, a family reunion after the day's duties. Now, I'm going to come back to this last passage. And I'm going to come back to this because this, to me, is what it's all about, being a witness in the home. The third decision that we made was to move to the country. Our children were younger at the time. See, parents were counseled to take their families away from the distractions and the noise of the city, where they can give their children companionship with the assurance that it will be found easier to bring home to their hearts the truth of the Word of God. So we learned the importance of home atmosphere, and as they grew, they began to appreciate and begin to incorporate these principles. This picture, which is the last family reunion picture that we have, was before we added to the three that you see in the photo here. This past year, each of these young people added one more, so we went from 3 to 7 at the end of the year. We lived in a remote area where there is a lot of quiet. This is a view from our deck. Our home is the little roof that you see at the very bottom, but this is the setting in which we live, around 8,000 feet. And in some communities, they understand meters better, so I just simply say around 2,800 meters high. We learned lessons that, for example, an orderly home is a setting where affection and thoughtfulness can be freely shown, which makes Christianity attractive. And we created an atmosphere whereby we eliminated a lot of the things that create disharmony in the home. And we deliberately found opportunity to foster what we called an atmosphere fragrant with tender thoughtfulness. We became intentional at showing love and kindness to one another. I remember years before, when I was a young lad, in my early 20s, my father setting a great example of this. I was in my early 20s, still living at home, and I was working at a factory from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. I would come home, take a shower, and then I would go to class until 3 p.m., and then I would do my work that I needed to do to get a little bit of sleep before I went to work at 10 p.m. Well, I had taken my suit to the dry cleaners for a Sabbath, and I had left the ticket on my dresser. But I did not have time to go and get my suit. And so I came home one morning after work, yes, and my suit was lying on my bed. I was confused and surprised as to how it got there. My father was preparing his sermon for church in his study. And so, he being the only one at home, I went into the study and I said, Dad, did you get my suit? Because I couldn't figure out who else would have done it. And he said, yes, he had. I remember just standing there, looking at him, because I realized that I would not have thought to do that. And I just thanked him with this quizzical expression on my face, like, why would you do that? It taught me a very important lesson. Even today, I really enjoy doing something for someone, not expecting or needing to be thanked. Today, I am intentional about thinking of things that I can do for someone because someone did that to me. We have a greenhouse. Now, the thing about greenhouses, that because of where we live, you want to extend the growing season as best you can. And so we have a greenhouse. In the middle of summer, we can get a hailstorm that will wipe out the entire garden. And it's happened. So a greenhouse helps to protect at least some part of your crop. Well, in addition to growing green things, we grow mice who really appreciate what we are doing for them, providing for them. And so I know that my dear bride has a different viewpoint than the mice do. And so I tend to try to enter the greenhouse before she does, find who I have trapped, and before she sees them, dispose of them, because I know she really dislikes doing that. She likewise shows me tender thoughtfulness when it's very hot outside and I'm weeding or doing some kind of work. My wife thoughtfully brings me cold water to drink without my asking her to do it. That is intentional kind of work. The home that is beautified by love, sympathy, and tenderness is a place that angels love to visit and where God is glorified. The influence of a carefully guarded Christian home in the years of childhood and youth is the surest safeguard against the corruptions of the world. In this kind of an atmosphere, children learn to love both their earthly parents and their heavenly Father. Well, there's more happiness in giving, as you well recognize, than there is in receiving. And it's the little things that mean the most. By the way, this works pretty much for all human relationships, not just kids. When we first came under the conviction and we made the life-changing decisions, such as setting aside time every evening for family and moving to the country, some of our friends and family, to be very honest with you, felt concerned that we were becoming very self-focused and that it would be a waste of the talents that we should be using for the kingdom of heaven. And as a result of that, we began to recognize that we needed to be intentional about what we did while we were there. As we look back, we have no regrets. We invested in our children's spiritual nurture, and this has paid off. Today, we are blessed to know that there are now 4 new families instead of 1 actively serving the Lord and starting earlier than we did to carefully nurture a love for God in their children, including their babes in their arms. And what has happened is that we got involved and took them along with us. And the joy that we had in ministering and in witnessing to others, they caught that enthusiasm. The first work of Christians is to be united in the family. Then the work is to extend to their neighbors nigh and afar off. Those who have received light are to let the light shine forth in clear rays. Their words, fragrant with the love of Christ, are to be a savor of life unto life. Such a family gives evidence that the parents have been successful in following God's directions and that their children will serve Him in the church and their influence grows. For as they impart, they receive to impart again. And the neighborhood in which they live is helped, for in it they have become enriched for time and eternity. Now, I was challenged because as a clinician, I worked in an office setting, and I could not take my children with me into that setting. And so, as I would come home, I would share what lessons I have learned while we were sitting down in family time. As they got older, they wanted to know, so what were you doing all day? And so I would share with them some of the challenges that I experienced that day without violating any patient confidentiality. And I began to share with them what I encountered and how my devotion time that morning had helped me to resolve a particular issue or to address a particular need. Over time, they all independently made the decision that they wanted to be involved in some kind of community effort via a health work. And they all became EMTs or emergency medical technicians, all four of them. I did not ask them to do that. They did not choose to go into a health field professionally, but they all became EMTs. And so they became, in effect, ambassadors, because as they would respond to calls, volunteers, as they responded to calls, they would go, "Who are you? You look like, are you Dr. Neblett's son? Are you Dr. Neblett's daughter?" And very many times, as I heard it, when the patients came back to see me, "Your son came to my help." And when I saw them, I said, "Okay, I'm fine now." And I went, they don't say that directly to me. But when my son or my daughter showed up, they went, "Okay, we're going to be fine. Dr. Neblett's son or daughter is here." I tell you, it brought tears to my eyes many a time. You know, when we inculcate into our children a love for our family and a heart for the gospel, they begin experiencing in their own way enthusiasm for ministering to people in the community. Well, during that time, one of our ministry goals we established was making our home a center for loving hospitality and evangelism. So over the years, when they were younger, our family began to have a powerful impact, and we began to extend hospitality to families for whom we had much to learn. And our home was the perfect place to do this. And so what we did was we capitalized on our young people's enthusiasm for doing something in the home for the community. And we laid out plans to have a Sunday evening time of fellowship, music, and Bible study in our home. And we planned to open our doors to anyone in the community who might be open to accepting such an invitation. And so when I would meet people in the community and I would recognize that they were hurting or that they were searching, I would invite them to come to our home one Sunday evening every month. And we would have a little bit of fellowship. We would have a little meal, and our children would all play. And we would then share some practical Christianity and sharing from our experience of the power of the gospel in our lives that was possible to restore broken relationships. And so we did this for several months. This was followed, of course, with our children offering their music to the community, and we would have sing-alongs, and we did all sorts of things and made our place a center for hospitality and evangelism. You know, we found it difficult to continue this practice during our busy season of traveling and speaking as a family and family ministry. But the friends that we established in the community remained ready to accept our invitation. And we have remained excited over the years about beginning this again. If you are a person that's not living in the context of a family, the same principles, by the way, would apply in the context of your life and relationship within your sphere of influence. Parents, study the best and most successful way of winning the love and confidence of your children so that you can lead them. And I must say that smiling is one of those things I had to learn how to do. I had to learn how to smile. At first when I did it, my children wondered if I was up to something. But as time came on, I recognized this point. You must win their affection if you would impress religious truth on their hearts. And we have found, let's see if this will work, my son-in-law. Simple. Do you think he's going to have a problem sharing the love of Jesus with those children and impressing religious truth on their hearts? Not at all. I just want to encourage each and every one of us, even those who don't have, not our parents, that we can have an army of youth today who can do much if they are properly directed and encouraged. We want our children to believe the truth. We want them to be blessed of God. And the way that you do it is that you win their affection. And you can impress religious truth on their hearts. This is being a witness in your home. If you have found that you missed the opportunity and that because of life circumstances you were not able to accomplish this, do not despair. If the Lord brings you grandchildren, take advantage of it there. Because let me tell you, the opportunities are endless. And so as you win their hearts and you impress religious truth, the Lord will give you opportunity to do the very same for your own, even if they have not done so at present. Because they know that by your life, they can see that you love the Lord and they want to have what you have in their home. God bless you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.